Teach Me to Code, episode 51. Hey everybody, and welcome back to another Teach Me to Code podcast. This is your host, Charles Max Wood, and this week I'm going to be talking about the debate that went on Twitter that was started by David Heinemeier Hansson. Now, you may be aware that he was on the podcast probably a month or so ago. It's really an interesting discussion. I don't know that there's a whole lot new in the discussion, but it brings up something that I want to talk about as far as tools go. And so we're going to be talking about what happened and what we can learn from it. But before we get started, I need to talk about our sponsor. We have New Relic. New Relic is really just an awesome company, and they have their RPM product, which is your application management tool. And it works so well for my Ruby applications. I know they also do PHP, .NET, and a whole bunch of other technologies. So if you are using any of those technologies for your web application, then by all means, give them a try, and they can really just give you some excellent, excellent information about your Ruby or Rails application or whatever application you're running. You can check them out at newrelic.com, or you can go through the website and click on the banner on the right. That gives us a little credit, lets them know that you came through us, and it really helps us out. So if you do it that way, I would really appreciate it. But either way, go check them out because they're a great tool. I also want to let people know that my Ruby on Rails course will be starting on Monday. So if you want to get into the course, you need to sign up and pay before Monday. And then you can get in and you can start learning Ruby on Rails. And it's a great way to go. Finally, you can get a hold of me, chuck@teachmetocode.com. You can also give me a call, 801-367-6164. That's my phone number, and it's a good way to get a hold of me if you need help with your Ruby or Rails application, or if you need some kind of coaching or mentorship for learning Ruby on Rails. I do that too. Finally, you can also follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/CMAXW, and that's another good way to just see what's going on. I also want to remind you that I have started up the Rails Coach podcast, and I have restarted the Intentional Excellence podcast. And you can find those at railscoach.com and intentionalexcellencepodcast.com. I know that's a long domain, but it's where that is. The Intentional Excellence podcast is also on Twitter, in iTunes. So you can go and you can get it in iTunes. Also, if you could go into iTunes and leave us a review, that would also help us out. And I would really appreciate that. Now, I'm going to get into this debate. Excuse me for scrolling up because I want to read the actual tweet here that that DHH or David Heinemeier Hansson actually put up on Twitter. People go, somebody I think asked David what they use. He says, Q, what testing framework do you use at 37 Signals? A, or answer, test unit with the occasional splash of Mocha. Mocha is it's a mocking library, mocking and stubbing library. And he says, that's all you need for great testing. And then what happened is he turned around and he also tweeted, I respect the guys behind it, and I'm all for experimentation, but the proliferation of RSpec and Cucumber makes me sad. And so then people, you know, people kind of started talking about it. Well, you know, there's quite a bit of support for the RSpec project. I use it on my projects, and, you know, I think a lot of other people use it for various reasons. And so, you know, it was kind of interesting. He then says, RSpec offends me aesthetically with no discernible benefit for its added complexity over test unit. And there are some good things that came out of this, I think, and some, you know, some interesting or maybe negative things that came out of it as well. And I'm going to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it in kind of general terms because I think there's more to this discussion than just, you know, whether you use RSpec or test unit in Ruby, especially for other developers in other areas. I mean, there is the ongoing debate over whether Vim is better than Emacs, or whether this flavor of Linux is better than that flavor of Linux, or macOS versus Windows. Or, I mean, there are so many different discussions, you know. Well, yeah, or this programming language is better than that programming language, you know. It's a discussion that I think, you know, I think it's a discussion that is helpful, but at the same time, I think it's a discussion that often gets taken too far. And, you know, David, he has this way of approaching things where he, in some cases, tends to overstate his opinion to the point where it's almost wrong the way he said what he thinks is right. You know, and I think in some cases he hits it spot on, but in other cases I think he really just misses the point. And so, you know, to say, you know, we use test unit or mini test if you're on 1.9, Ruby 1.9, I don't think that is necessarily helpful. He actually put up a gist, which on GitHub is just a code snippet, and basically said, this is what I like about test unit over RSpec. And I think that's the helpful discussion to have is, okay, well, what tool fits your workflow, or what tool fits the way that you think? What tool works for you? And I think that's something that people need to evaluate and think about. And I think that's ultimately what he was trying to do, was to get people to think, okay, you know, well, besides say that, you know, test unit is better than RSpec, which is basically what he did. But, you know, I think what this does is it sparks the discussion, okay, so what am I using and why am I using it? And this is what we need to think about with our tools. You know, what am I using? Why am I using it? You know, why do I use Vim over Emacs? Why do I use, you know, what does Vim give me that Emacs doesn't? Or what does Emacs give me that Vim doesn't? Or am I just sticking with the tool because I know how to use it? You know, honestly, I don't think that one is necessarily superior to the other. I think one is better suited to certain situations than another. And I think the same thing could be said for RSpec or Test Unit or Cucumber or whatever other library you're using, is that, you know, ultimately they're suited for certain things. One example was he basically said that Cucumber isn't any good to anybody unless you're going to have your clients read your test, is basically what he said. And BJ Clark, who's another Rubyist, jumped in and said, so basically what David is saying is that Cucumber isn't any good to anyone unless they use it for what it was intended to be used for. And, you know, that's a valid point, is, okay, so the discussion over Cucumber versus RSpec versus, you know, Cucumber typically uses RSpec. You can use test unit with it, but anyway, so Cucumber is another tool, and basically what it does is it breaks your test down into basically plain English. And so you write a test, a step, and the step basically parses a string and then runs some code for it. And so you can tie your each step, which is, you know, this string written in English, and you can basically parse out the important parts and use them to, you know, set up things so that you can run your tests, actually, you know, complete the actions that you want done, and then check your results. And so, you know, he's saying you don't need the plain English. It adds this layer of complexity to your tests that you don't need. And in general, I agree. As a programmer, you know, it's not any more or less helpful than just writing plain tests in Capybara or WebRat or, you know, some other framework that, you know, basically just encapsulates, you know, a method that says visit and then a path, you know, as opposed to when I go to this page, you know, things like that, you know, where it's a full-on English sentence. You know, for the programmer, there's not a lot of benefit there to writing when I go to this page, as opposed to just making a method call. However, if I'm sharing this with my client, and I'm saying, client, look at this, you know, when I go to this page, then I see this thing, the client can say, yeah, that's what it's supposed to do. And the client then can actually write requirements. And this is something, I just had lunch with David Brady. This is something that he actually brought up, was, yeah, you know, I've shown this to clients. They look at it and they say, oh, that's really nice. And then he runs it and they're saying, oh, this is actually code that I can run that tests my application. And from there, you know, they say, oh, well, I could write this. And he says, he basically points out, and you will. And that's the whole point, is, look, you can write requirements documents that I can translate into actionable code that gets the stuff done and make sure that the website acts and reacts the way that it should. And, you know, that's the general premise behind BDD is that, or behavior-driven design, is that, you know, you can write a specification that can be executed as the behavior of the site and verify that it's correct. And, you know, and so, yeah, if you're going to be showing your tests to your client, then by all means, use Cucumber. If you're not, and I found that in some cases I use Cucumber when I'm really not, and I've been tempted to actually just cut Cucumber out and, you know, write integration tests with RSpec and Capybara or RSpec and WebRat and just test it that way, because for me it's simpler. Visit this site, you know, click here, do this, you know, done. And, you know, that really helps, you know, for me just looking at it and going, okay, I see what it's doing. Boom, 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 boom. And, you know, just working my way down the list and saying, okay, it's going here, it's clicking here, it's checking this, it's doing that, and, you know, ultimately coming back with the right information. And so, you know, super handy. And so anyway, it's really interesting, and I think it really comes down to which tool is best suited for the programmer for the job. And, you know, this whole debate over whether, you know, we use one tool or the other, I think just leads us to start thinking about, okay, if I use this tool, how does it help my workflow? In other words, how does it help me write code better? How does it help me write code faster? How does it make me more efficient? How does it make my programming more enjoyable? You know, if you start to really think about these things, then you can start going, okay, well, this tool gives me this, or this tool makes this more complicated, and I could actually be better served by switching, you know, by doing this or doing that. And ultimately, I think that's really, really powerful thing that you can consider. And so then what it comes down to is, okay, now how do I get better with the tool that I feel is going to help me be the best programmer that I can be? And so these debates are healthy. These debates are a good thing for the community, because ultimately then you get to the point where you're thinking about, okay, what does Minitest give me? What does RSpec give me? And then you get into, why do I need this one? Why do I need that one? What difference does it make? And then you can make an educated decision knowing your workflow as to which one will really help. So in this debate, it's really hard for me to come down to, you know, the RSpec is better than test unit or test unit is better than RSpec. I can tell you I'm more used to RSpec, but that doesn't necessarily make it better. I used to use test unit, but it has been a few years. And to be honest, back then it felt clunky compared to RSpec. And I understand that they've changed some of the workings of test unit and mini test to actually make it work more like what I like about RSpec. So, you know, ultimately, which one's better? I really think what you're doing is you're saying, do I need a 4-inch shovel or a 3-inch shovel to dig this hole, and which one's going to get it done more quickly for me? And so, you know, is it really going to make that big a difference? Probably not. But is it something worth considering? Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to put a link up to this debate, this article for the debate in Ruby Inside, and you can go check it out. You can read up on it if you're a Rubyist. And if not, what I want you to do is I want you to look at some of the tools you're using. Maybe it's your IDE, maybe it's your text editor, maybe it's certain libraries that you use for certain things. See what the alternatives are. See what some of the payoffs could be for switching. And then make an educated decision as to whether tool A is going to better serve you or tool B is going to better serve you. And then what I want you to do is go ahead and write a blog post about it and say, I looked at this library and I looked at this other library and I decided to switch or not to switch, and tell us why. And, you know, help other people, you know, become educated about what's out there and why they may want to consider doing what you're doing. And you know, help further the discussion. Ultimately, I think it's a good thing that there are multiple libraries that do the same thing, because it encourages people to go out and innovate and, you know, create new things and explore new areas and benefit the community with their experience. And, you know, I really just hope that we can all come together and, you know, ultimately, regardless of what library we use or what text editor we use, and just, you know, share our knowledge and instead of fragmenting the community, you know, helping it grow from differences in experience and opinion and, you know, just open the dialogue up so that we can all in all just really, you know, contribute to each other and make the community grow. I want to remind you about the Ruby on Rails course. It's you can get to it at teachmetocode.com/rails course. That's a terrific way to learn Ruby on Rails. I've been working really hard on the curriculum, and I really think that it's going to work out well for anyone who takes the course who isn't familiar with Ruby on Rails. It's not targeted at people who are old hat at Ruby on Rails. You may pick up a few tricks, but you know, this is the basic stuff. This is the MVC stuff. This is, you know, the in general stuff that you need to know in order to build a Ruby on Rails application. So, anyway, go sign up. It starts on Monday. So if you haven't signed up by Monday, that's April 4th, and paid, then you're probably not going to be able to get into the course. And, you know, I really want to see as many people as need it be able to take the course. So go ahead and sign up, and, you know, we'll let you know. I also want to thank New Relic for sponsoring the podcast and just remind you that you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/cmaxw. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/teachmetocode. And you can find me, you know, wherever else. I think all of my contact information is actually on the Teach Me to Code website. So you can click the About page and, you know, find out what we're all about and where we're going with this. And that's it. I'm gonna turn it off, and we'll catch you next week.